Thank you for joining us. This is A Moment in Time, a podcast story series, and I'm Kevin Niehaus, your host. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is another Moment in Time, and I'm Kevin, and I'm here with...
Ingrid.
And Miss Ingrid, what are we talking about tonight?
We are talking about my moment in time. It was October 1st, 2017, recently. It was the Las Vegas shooting for the Route 91 Harvest Festival country concert that I was at.
Okay, so just to frame it, sounds like kind of like during the concert and then like maybe during the shooting and then everything since the shooting. How about that?
Yes.
Perfect.
Perfect.
So you take the reins, Miss Ingrid. Where do we go?
Okay. So a little bit of background. I went to this concert the year before, and we had general admission. And this year we were trying to do the VIP section, which it was closest to the Mandalay. Out of five of us, only one of us were able to get the VIP ticket. So we all decided, that's okay. You know, we'll all just do general admission. So it was just any other festival that I have gone to.
Okay.
You know, it was Sunday. It started off the same. We were late getting into the concert all 3 days. As normal, we kind of knew what we wanted to do, what artists we wanted to see. So there's two stages. One is the main stage, and then there's another one that's called Next to Nashville, which is still a lot of main artists, but they're not super, super known. Their songs are still on the radio, but they're not your, you know, Jason Aldean, who was the headliner. They're getting up there, but they're just not at that level yet. So throughout the night...
So they're basically like the artists who maybe have like one song, you know? So you go listen to that one song and then go back to the big ones?
Correct. Yeah. So throughout the night, we were just... There was actually ended up being three of us that night instead of five. My sister and my cousin ended up not going to the concert. So between five, only three of us actually went. So that night, we just kept going back and forth through the stage. And around 10 o'clock, Jason Aldean was already at the stage. My friend was in the front of the stage, or front of the venue, should I say, in the crowd. And I decided with my other friend, Stephanie, I was like, you know what, we're going to go a little bit towards the back. We're kind of tired. Our feet hurt. We kind of just want to relax. And you know, my friend's like, okay, perfect. She's like, I'll stay up here. And then when the concert is done, we'll go to our meeting point, which was a little bit towards the back where almost like all the food venue was at.
Okay.
We'll just meet up there. We're like, perfect.
So before we keep going, kind of paint a picture so people can kind of visualize, you know, this venue. Because we've all heard of the venue, but was it just like a couple acres of open land and then the different stages? Like, how was it set up?
So it's an open space in Vegas. In the middle of this space is the fake grass, so your turf area.
Mm-hmm.
On the right and left side, you have your VIP section. Okay. So on the right-hand side, there is more of your VIP section. And then the left, it was like your, you know, kind of like mini condos, I like to say it, because they kind of look like houses.
Okay.
So, and then in the middle is just the general admission. You know, everybody who didn't have the VIP status was all crowded there. You're almost like just in a crowded area, almost like cows, so to say, because it's really hard to move in.
Okay.
So I decided to leave because I was like, I'm tired of getting, you know, beer spilled on me and pushing and shoving, because at this point, everybody's trying to work their way up to be as close to Jason Aldean as possible. And I was like, I'm just not ready to do that. I want to be in the back. So I went to the back with my friend. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to go back to the front again because I want to take a couple of videos of Jason Aldean. So I took a couple of videos. And as I was done with the videos, walking back to a little grass section that they had towards the back, I sat back down and I'm sending a friend, you know, a text. And you hear a couple of bam, 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 loud noises. And my friend pops up and she's like, what was that? And I looked at her and I was like, oh, nothing, probably fireworks. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. You know, I shoot guns. I'm like, that's not, you know, gunshots. Like, they're a lot louder. That doesn't sound like it. So she was like, okay, sit back down. So I'm like going away on my text and then I hear, you know, another pop, pop, pop sound. But this time it was a lot longer. And I was like, wait, that doesn't sound like fireworks now. Like, what's going on? I remember just standing up and kind of feeling very frozen in time. And I remember seeing this girl running towards me. And she, like, the look on her face just had so much fear. And I felt like she was going to run through me, like you would see in movies, like a ghost would go through your body. That's what it kind of almost felt like. She was just going to go through me. And I remember just being stuck and just leaning towards the right. And I just saw a mob of people started running. And I couldn't hear everything because I was so shocked at this girl's face. And I was just like, she looks like she's in a lot of fear, like she's running from something. And that's when kind of you hear more of the gunshot. So this is like the third round. You just hear it more consecutively, and it got louder and louder. And that's when I was like, oh, somebody in the concert is shooting at people. Shit, I got to run. And I remember looking at my friend being, get up and just run. She grabbed my arm for trying to run. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of exits trying to leave the concert. A lot of the exits were blocked because it was only like VIP section or like for the artists to come in and out in the food venue. And I remember this guy yelled at us, said, hey, ladies, follow me this way towards an exit. I remember just running. And at this time, it was like already a mob of people. And people were falling to the floor. And I just remember to myself, I need to help these people. And I was going down to try to help them. This guy got my shoe, and I was like, don't fall, don't fall. So I couldn't end up helping these people. I just kind of kept going and started running.
So it's like you almost got caught up in kind of the stampede. And even if you wanted to stop and help, it's like you couldn't even turn around. The wave of, like, people was just taking you like a current.
Correct. It literally was a current that you just couldn't get out of. And I just remember hearing police officers and the security guard at the event just saying, get out, run for your life, save your life. And their exact words that I would never forget is, fucking run for your life, save your fucking life, get out of here. And I was just like, oh, okay, I got to keep running. I got to keep running. And I remember just running straight and losing my friend. I had no idea if my friend Alyssa that was at the front, if she was alive. I knew one of my friends, Stephanie, that she was with me. I know she was alive, but I lost her. I had no idea where she was at. Because of the whole stampede, everybody just got split up. So I remember just running. I had my Michael Kors bag with me. And I remember thinking, oh my God, my bag is holding me down. Like, I got to throw my bag down. That way I can run faster. And I was like, wait, no, bitch. You don't throw down Michael Kors. You take your Michael Kors with you, and you hold that shit. You just run for your life. And plus, I had everything with me. ID, my phone, my whole life. I'm like, I got to keep that. And I just started running straight. And I almost got run over in the process of the semi-truck. And I thank God I just stopped. I remember seeing these people, and I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to focus on these two couple, and I'm just going to follow them. I'm just going to run. Because I couldn't speak to tell them, I'm by myself. I'm scared. I have nobody to run with. Can I run with you? So in my head, I'm just like, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to focus on them, and I'm going to run. So I started running into the Tropicana, and that's luckily where I found my friend. We're trying to get over, like, a wall, something that we had to hop over to get into the hotel because we were outside. I remember hopping over this wall or this brick or whatever it was, and we're now in the Tropicana, like, in the pool section. And we're running through the Tropicana, and they had, like, it was their cafe that wasn't fully built yet. And I remember there's a bunch of chairs, and it was construction. And I was like, we're like, okay, we're going to hide out here. We're going to hide underneath the table until everything kind of settles down, and we could either A, get back to our hotel room, or just keep running further away from the strip.
So at this standpoint, are the gunshots still going on, or at this, you don't even know anymore?
I had no idea. All I could here with people saying he's behind us. So I still had no idea if they were still going on or if, you know, he was truly behind us because it was just a mess. So I remember just hiding underneath this table and looking at the time. I was like, okay, it's 10:15. And my son's like, why do you want to know the time? And I was like, because I need to see how long we're going to be here for, because 5 minutes can seem like an hour and not really. So I just remember hiding underneath there and, you know, texting, you know, my rock, like, oh my God, there's a shooting. I'm okay. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of freaking out. My friend just starts crying. You know, somehow I was like, I can't cry. I got to keep it together. I got to be the one that can kind of think and focus if we need to run, like, and not freak out. So we're hiding underneath this table and we're like, okay, we've got to be quiet. Like, don't make any noises, because if he is here, we don't want him to figure out where we are. And I was like, we need a duck. We need to turn off the lights, like lock the doors. So somehow after the last people that got into this room shut the door, we were still there. And I remember, you know, 20 minutes later, somebody like breaking down the door, like really hard, like full mind you, or just kicking the door. And at this point, we're like, oh my God, that's him. That's the shooter. Like, he's here in the hotel, and this is where I'm going to die. I'm like, he's here. We're going to die. And just being like, just tears almost coming up. And I was like, keep it together. So keep it together. Luckily, it was a gentleman and his kids, which just seemed like little tiny little feet, just running for shelter.
So wait, you still, at this standpoint, you're still kind of hidden up under this table at the Tropicana?
Correct. We're still hiding underneath this table, trying to stay away from, you know, any windows or any lights, because we were just like, we need somewhere to stay hidden for till we can, you know, get up and leave in like an hour or so. So for the whole time, I just kept thinking, we need to get out of here, or we need to find dead bodies. We need to find dead bodies. We need to hide under these dead bodies in order to live and survive this. We need to hide under something. And we knew there was a couple of people in there that were hurt, because you could hear it. You saw blood, you know, scattered throughout. So finally, after like a half hour of being, you know, hiding underneath the table, we started running again. And now we're in the middle of the casino. And we're in the middle, and we just look at everybody and just kind of were just stuck, almost frozen in time, where we didn't know whether to run to the right, to run straight, to run to the left. And this is where we met this guy named Carlos, and which I call him my savior, and which to me, he saved myself and Stephanie's life, because he really took over then. So we met this guy, Carlos, and he was like, you ladies need to stay. He was like, are you okay? Are you hurt? Are you guys shot? Like, any broken legs or anything? Just, and we're like, no, like, we haven't checked ourselves, because we were just that flight and fight, just running. And I was like, no, I think I'm okay. Like, I'm definitely not shot, but just frozen. He was like, you need to sit down. You look like you're going to pass out. He was like, and you're shaking quite, you know, really badly. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe I should sit down. He was like, let me get you guys water. So we're in the middle. He's trying to calm us down, and my friend is like freaking out. He starts crying. There's people there screaming and crying and just a lot of chaotic mess, you know, people screaming for who's a, you know, EMT, does anybody have medication, does anybody have Tylenol, you know, just scrambling around. And a couple of times, you know, they're like, the shooter's in here. And he was like, you guys need to hide behind the slot machines. And I remember hiding behind the slot machines and him putting his body on top of ours. So if he was here, he was like, you know, I'm going to go first, you know, and hopefully you guys could, you know, at least I could try to save your life. So throughout the entire night, it was a lot of misleading information, a lot of running, a lot of screaming, you know, people just saying like there's multiple shooters. He's in the hotel when he really wasn't in the hotel. But of course, we didn't know what was going on because the media didn't really know what was going on. So we were only going by what, you know, people were calling and texting us and just trying to, you know, see what was on the TV in the hotel. But it was just a mess.
So but you're at the Tropicana right now. Is everyone pretty much at the Tropicana, like ducking and hiding? Or is it just the three of you? Kind of paint the picture, you know, because none of us that weren't there really understand kind of what happened after the shooting. Was everyone on high alert or...
So everybody was definitely on high alert. They had a couple of, there was like a little ER section that some people were at that they kind of made. A lot of us were behind in the bathrooms hiding, also behind the slot machines. Because at this point, they kind of closed off the Tropicana, so you couldn't really come in or out. But there are still kind of people somehow were trickling in. So, and I believe the Tropicana is connected to the Luxor. So there's like, you know, like that pathway or whatever, and
yeah,
like under and underneath as well. So people are still kind of trickling in, and, you know, some people were, you know, trying to hide behind the casino slot. There's a little ER, you know, people are just like, who has, you know, medication, who has painkillers, you know, so that was going on, and you're just like, I was just like, okay, I need to avoid that little section. Like, I don't want to see too much stuff. Like, I'm trying to stay calm for my friend. And a lot of people were just screaming and freaking out. And I'm just, you know, remember just telling my friend, like, you know, don't freak out. Don't freak out. Like, stay calm. We're going to get past this. And Carlos was just like, the worst is behind us. The worst has already happened. You know, you're going to have a story to tell. He was like, I will keep you girls alive. Just, you know, don't freak out. And me just remember telling my friend, like, it's okay, it's okay, we'll be calm. And she's hysterical, and I'm trying to be like the calm one with Carlos because I had no idea. I was just saying whatever that was coming out just to, you know, give her some comfort. But in my mind, I was just like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die, and this is where I'm going to die. And the whole time I just kept thinking was, I need to find dead bodies. I need to hide under them. I just need to find them. And I'm just, you know, so many things were going through my head. It's just like, I need to find it. I need to find it. I need to find it. This covering under the casino spot is not going to do anything. Not that the dead bodies would either, but in my head, I was like, if I act like I'm dead, if he is here, he would shoot at me. I would have a better chance of surviving.
So it's kind of like you're in 100% survival mode, and you're already kind of saying your goodbyes because you're trying to keep your friend calm, and at the same time, you know your end is coming near. It's kind of the
correct.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, as we were sitting, the group that I was with, a couple people have mentioned that throughout the concert, there was a lady with two gentlemen. And throughout the night, they were going up to people, telling people that all of you guys are going to die tonight, and just started laughing at them. And quite a few people, I've overheard them saying that, even the group that I was with, and they told security, and they ended up kicking her out. And an hour later, that's when all the gunshots started happening. So we don't know if, you know, this lady was ever spoken to, but it was just a coincidence, or just maybe somebody being drunk and they were just, you know, talking out of their ass. But, you know, it was something that all of us were just like, well, what's going on? Like, where is this lady now? You know, has anybody talked to her? Because there's still no answers of, you know, why this happened.
So while you're, you know, looking back on all of this, this person has never been found or identified, and that's something like we, the, you know, people like watching in fear heard. What was that like sitting, you know, by the slot machines in the Tropicana with the thought that the shooter is in the Tropicana and at any moment things are going to happen, that these other random people might still be around?
It was definitely scary. I, you know, your mind just races through what's going to happen next. Like, if these people are still out, like, who's to say that they're not going to come back, you know, with more ammunition or with more people, and it's going to do more damage to us, or just, you know, not to me, but to anybody else. Because, you know, even throughout that time, we kept hearing that there was multiple shooters at different locations, and they were just literally going down the strip and trying to hit every single hotel. And that's what we were hearing as well. So for me, I was just like, great. Like, how am I going to survive this? Like, there's no way I'm getting out of here. Or at least not alive or shot.
Mm. So walk me through just kind of like reflecting back on it now. What went through your mind other than trying to find dead bodies to hide under? Because you believe that if he came walking through, that he would just see the dead bodies and just keep moving, thinking he's already killed these people. What really went through your mind?
That I was going to die. That there was no way that I was going to make it out of this alive. Because at this point, there are still so many people screaming and literally people running from one side of the room to the other. Because all we kept hearing was, he's behind us, he's behind us. Now he's on the third floor, he's here at the hotel. People calling me and texting me, like, you need to run, you need to get out of the hotel because he's in your hotel. He has all these guns and all this ammunition, and he just, and I was just like, I can't leave. Like, I'm a sitting duck, I'm here, and this is where I'm going to die. And I was like, and what was going through my mind was like, I'm never going to get married, I'm never going to have kids, because I was certain that I wasn't going to make it out alive.
So it's almost like the life that, you know, is still up front of you just kind of flashed through your eyes like, okay, Ingrid, Tropicana is where you end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm like, this is where I'm going to die. This is where I'm, my last everything. I was like, I'm literally a sitting duck. I'm like, I can't leave. They're not really letting us leave. There's really no shelter. You know, and my friend's like, I don't feel safe being here. And me being like, no, this is the safest place that we can be. We're not outside anymore. Like, we're here. There's security. You know, and then finally, the police and the SWAT came in. And I was just like, you know, I just remember looking at Carlos and being like, okay, like, is this a good sign? Is this not a good sign? Because I really want to freak out, but I'm trying not to freak out. You know, because everybody else is freaking out. So that just makes more people freaked out. So I'm trying to stay calm. And he was like, no, you want the SWAT to be here. Because if he is in the Tropicana, like people are saying, the SWAT team are going to have a better chance locating him. And like, you know, there's 5 SWAT guys, 1 shooter. You know, it's like they'll have a better chance of shooting him. They, you know, are trained for this. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, if we need to run again, I need to know where I'm running to. Am I going straight? Am I going left? Am I going right? He was like, don't think about that. He was like, the guys are here. The SWAT's here. Let them do their job. Just sit and try to relax. And I'm like, Ingrid doesn't relax. Like, I'm paranoid. Like, there's no relaxing in this situation. And I'm like, okay. And so then my brain goes, well, what if they accidentally just start shooting the gun? You know what I mean? Because at this point, you still hear the slot machines going off. So it's not like they disconnected it and it was silence. You still hear, you know, the bells and the whistles of it. And I'm just kind of like, I know they're trained for this, but, you know, accidentally, you know, things can happen, you know, and so I'm trying not to think of the worst, but unfortunately my brain does that a lot. It just automatically thinks of the worst things ever. So the SWAT team come in and they do a sweep of the hotel and they're getting all the injured out. And I remember there's a couple of people that have been shot and people were getting them, you know, to the hospital and in the ambulance, and anybody who was severely hurt, you know, right after them, it was the people that got shot, and then any broken bones or anything that had to be stitched up, they were going. And we were still stuck in the casino. And finally, like probably an hour went by or so, you know, we got the okay. They're like, the hotel is cleared. He is not here. It is safe. We're going to, you know, go to a different room to, you know, to close you guys down. So just in case, because at this point, we still really didn't know if there was 2 shooters or 1 shooter. Like people just had all these different assumptions. People were still calling. This lady who was in our group, I remember she said, I'm friends with like so-and-so, a news anchor, and she's telling me there's multiple shooters. And I was like, I just can't take you right now. Like, I'm like, you need to keep that shit to yourself. I was all like, you need to keep it to yourself because you're making things a lot worse. So we finally get to this, like, conference room. And literally they had to pat us down from head to toe, check our bags. You know, they're there still with, you know, these high ammunition weapons. And we're walking through this corridor and I feel really uncomfortable. Because you could see the Tropicana, and I was like, or the Mandalay, sorry, and there's glass. And I'm like, well, what if there's another shooter? They could start shooting and we would just be dead right now. Because now there's a bunch of us and we're almost like in open space because of the windows. So it feels really uncomfortable. And then I was like, I need to focus on something. There's a couple in front of me with a baby. The baby was probably 6 months. And I was just, remember looking at them and asking them, like, how are you guys so calm? Like, I know you guys are probably freaking out because I'm freaking out, but you have a baby, like, literally a tiny little baby, and you guys are just kind of going with the flow. And I was just like, I'm here standing, like, just really wanted to cry hysterically and freaking out. And I barely just text my parents, like, 45 minutes after everything happened, like, hey, by the way, they're just shooting, I'm alive, I don't know if I'm going to make it out, but I probably should let you know that, you know, what's going on. They weren't initially my first phone call, but I was like, I should probably call them now.
I bet they appreciate that.
And, you know, and the whole thing, I was just like, you know, I just so you guys know, I'm okay. Because I honestly didn't think I was going to make it out. And, you know, I didn't want them to be like, why wasn't, you know, at least you could have told me, like, I love you, and I didn't want to have that guilt or have them know that I didn't love them if, you know, God forbid, you know, if it didn't turn out the way, you know, it did. So literally now we're in this room and I feel a little bit better, still really scared because just there's probably 100 of us or so in this room. And it's now it's just the waiting game of, are they going to let us go? Is he dead? Is he still alive? Did they get him? Because still, there's still really no word of, the gunman was dead or not dead. And if they were, we didn't get told anything. We were just like, you're going to be stuck in this room. All we can give you is like water and a blanket and some towels. And this is where you're setting up. They're setting up shop for kind of the remainder of the night until we know what to do with you guys. And I was like, great. I'm like, this is even worse, but okay. But as long as the hotel was, you know, cleared, that's pretty much what I cared about. And I just remember going up to, you know, one of the SWAT members when they were coming during the rounds. And I was like, are you sure the hotel is clear? He was like, I'm positive the hotel is clear. Just try to relax. And I was just like, okay. And I was like, and you know what? I was like, thank you for your service because I really appreciate you right now. And, you know, everything what you're doing for us. And like, I feel a little bit better, you know, hearing it from you and not from the hotel staff. So right, like 4:30 comes in the morning. And they're like, all right, guys, you guys, we're going to let you go to your hotel. So if you're staying at the Tropicana, we're going to have either a police officer or a member of the SWAT team escort you to your floor. So like for everyone else who is not staying here, either you could stay here or you could get to your hotel. There should be Ubers outside or taxis. So the little group that we were in, we all had to make a unanimous decision. Of course, I was the only one. I was like, nope, we're not leaving. We're staying here. We're staying put until the morning. We ain't leaving. And everybody else were like, no, we want to get out of here. So, of course, I lose. And then I was like, dang it. I was like, okay. So, we're leaving the Tropicana, and the guy, Carlos, he actually was one of the bartenders that worked the event. So, like, my truck is here. He was like, I'll be able to take you and your friend and pick up your other friend back to the hotel room.
Because at this standpoint, you don't know where the other three of them are, right? Like, you don't know where your own sister is.
My sister and my cousin end up not going. So okay. That was a huge relief. Yeah, they end up selling their ticket. So my friend, I probably should have said this earlier. She, after 30 minutes into hiding, she texted us and she was like, I'm alive. I'm at the airport. It was like a tiny little airport. And we're like, how the hell did you get to the airport? So she was alive. We knew then at that point she was alive. And my sister was able to kind of be like the mediator because my phone wasn't really getting reception. The other girl was, you know, she kept calling her parents and her boyfriend and she was like hysterical. And of course, you know, the shooting happened. So everyone's phone wasn't kind of really working. You know, there's 22,000 people at this event and plus all the regular people that are in Vegas. So imagine all the phone calls and just all the circuits just kind of getting blocked.
All tied up. Yeah. So at this standpoint, you're leaving then the Tropicana. How long have you been, how long were you at the Tropicana?
For 5 to 6 hours.
Okay.
So we were there twice a bit, just sitting ducks, having no idea what was going on, still getting a lot of misleading information just from the news, from family members, from friends, and just people that were there. Because, again, the news said one thing, and then you hear, you know, other people on Facebook, they said their, you know, other things. So it was just a really a chaotic mess. Even just running out the venue was a mess. There was really no directions or anything of where to go. I just remember being like, you know, they always say, like, in a situation, like, don't panic, don't panic. So me, I'm like, well, why are we running? Like, we should be walking, like, in a, you know, slow, not slow pace, but, like, at an easy pace. Like, don't trample down people. So it was just, the whole thing was just a mess. Even just when we got out of the Tropicana, you know, we're walking back to the concert, because that's where Carlos had his car. And I remember walking outside, and it's kind of a little bit chilly, and I just remember, it's really quiet in Vegas, like oddly quiet. You know, I'm like feeling really uncomfortable. I'm like, we still didn't know, like, if there were multiple shooters. I'm like, so now we're outside and open. I'm like, guys, I feel really uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I'm like, we need to get back. And just remember walking almost like we're at almost the concert. And that's when a couple of the police officers were like, excuse me, where are you guys going? We're like, oh, well, our car's right there. He was like, no. He was like, you guys can't go through. He was like, and we're not letting anybody get their belongings or their car. And I was like, great. So how are we going to get home? He was like, Hooters is right there. He's like, but I've been told that there should be Lyft and Uber there. So you can take one of them back to your guys' hotel, or if you live here, back home. And at this point, I was like, great. I was like, well, there is no Ubers. There is no Lyft. There is nobody outside. I remember checking my Facebook, and my cousin lives out there. And she was like, if you need a ride, I'll pick you guys up. I was like, oh, bless her soul. So I remember contacting my cousin, like, can you pick us up? So now we're walking almost like a mile to, you know, where my cousin's at. And again, it's really quiet in Vegas. Literally the strip, like, there is nobody on this strip. And if there were people, they were obviously trying to get back to their hotel. But it was so quiet that you can hear a pin drop, and very uncomfortable. That uncomfortable, eerie feeling of just being out in the open. So finally, my cousin picked us up. Me, I was able to finally hysterically cry and be like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, we're actually out of this mess, and, you know, saying our goodbyes to Carlos and being like, I don't think I would have gotten through this if you weren't there. You know, all the little things that you did, you know, putting your body as our shield, and me not realizing that he did that until speaking to my friends. And then after kind of remembering everything little by little, I was like, oh yeah. I was like, he did it multiple times. You know, like, he literally was our savior. Anytime they were just like, he's here, he would literally put himself in front of us, which I will be forever grateful for him. And, like, he's an angel and my hero, because I don't know if I would have done that for other people. Like, I'll just be honest. Like, I was just so scared. And I've always told people, every man for themselves. If shit goes down, I'm running. Like, if you behind me, cool, but I'm not going to wait for you. Like, I'm trying to save myself. And same thing, like, don't wait for me. Like, you go and run. So for me, for somebody who does not know me, did not know anything about me, other than he was just like, I just saw the fear in your eyes, and you reminded me of my little sister, and I didn't want anything to happen to you girls. And you girls were by yourself. You had no guys. It was two of you guys, because, like, I wasn't going to let anything happen to you guys.
And I just want to just give you kudos, because you're over here talking about, you know, big bad Ingrid, every man for himself, but you kept it all together to stay calm so you didn't freak out your friend the whole time. Yeah. So in some aspect, even you didn't abide by the every man for himself rule.
This is true. And actually, during one point, she looked at me and she was like, promise me that you won't leave me. And I just remember looking at her and just being like,
Ingrid.
No. Like, you did not just, you know, like, those words just did not come out of your mouth. And for me, it felt like forever, like, I waited a huge pause to reply back to her. But if you talk to her, my friend said, and he said, no, you replied really quickly. You said, I promise I won't leave you. And I was like, really? I was like, you said me. Like, I paused. And it was like a long pause. She was like, no. She's like, you answered right away. So then I was just like, shit. I was like, well, if we're going to die, I guess we're going to die together now.
So, okay, you're out of there. You've had your moment where your cousin, you're now safe with her. Kind of give us an idea what the past few months have been since the shooting. Like, you got back to Los Angeles. What happened after you got out of Las Vegas?
So it's been about 6 or 7 weeks now that we've been back. I am seeing a therapist every week. Myself, I've experienced a lot of anxiety. I already have anxiety, so going through this just really made my anxiety 10 times even worse. I don't feel comfortable being outside. I don't even feel comfortable in my own home sometimes. There was a lot of nights that I had dreams of I'm going to die. People were shooting at me. And I remember just waking up in the middle of the night being really hot from head to toe, almost like I was on fire, but literally like it was kind of like it started from the head and then it would work its way down to the toes and just being like really hot and just having these dreams of I'm going to die, I'm going to die. So now I'm constantly thinking I'm going to die, which it sucks. And I took time off work and I work in two jobs. I took a couple of days out of my main job, but my part-time job is in the mall. So that I definitely did not feel comfortable going back right away. And it's something that it was always in the back of my head. Like if there was going to be a shooting, I always thought if I was going to be involved in the shooting, it's going to be in the mall because I work at the mall. I don't know why, but, you know, you hear it happen. And so me, I'm just like, if it's ever going to happen, it's going to be in the mall. And my luck is going to be when I'm working, busy on a Saturday. So going back to my part-time job, I was really scared. And I remember going in and talking to them, like, you know, like, what's the strategy of, you know, if, you know, if something happens, like, I'm telling you now, like, I'm running home because I live across the street from the mall. And just, like, being really uncomfortable next to the large windows. And just even when I see people scream or run, I kind of immediately have that feel of, okay, I need to run. Something's going on because it's triggering all those emotions of you need to run because that's what I saw was people just run.
So you're dealing with a lot of trauma-based symptoms. Then any flashbacks where, you know, all of a sudden you see that woman's face when she was first running towards you or... You know, hearing the gunshots out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think about it all the time. Her face constantly pops up all the time. Because I'll never forget it. She probably was like in her 20s. Dirty blonde hair. White girl. Long hair. And I just remember her face just had so much fear in it. And that constantly kind of like pops up in my mind. And so that pops up quite a bit. And just hearing little noises, like sometimes I hear like popping noise or construction. Sometimes like when they're doing the drill, I'm like, that sounds just like guns. And I'm like, what was that? Do I need to run? Like, am I okay? Even being in the car at first, I didn't like driving. I was just like, no, I wouldn't leave my house. I was like, I don't want to do this. But my sister was all like, you need to start doing your normal routine. She was like, you have today off. She was like, what would you done on a normal day off? She was like, I know you would go get a manicure and pedicure and massage. She was like, go get your nails done. I was like, okay, maybe you're right. You know, like I need to start getting back into my normal habit. So really uncomfortable just being outside. And even now, I still, in certain situations, feel uncomfortable. I'm starting to get back to my normal self. I don't think I will ever feel comfortable in Vegas. I actually went to Vegas 2 weeks ago to see the memorial. And I was definitely on edge, shaking the entire time, you know, crying a lot just because of, I was lucky that I was able to get out alive, but the 58 people that weren't so lucky, you know, just thinking I'm no different than them. You know, one of them works, and I work in two jobs. One of them works for one company. And then another lady that also died, her sister-in-law works for the other company that I work for. So those really hit close to home for me, knowing that those two people passed away. You know, I'm very close in age to one, and that tie of working for the same companies, and like you know, what a small world. And just being in Vegas and having and seeing everybody having such a good time and have no worries in the world, and constantly in the back of my mind, I'm just like, I could die right here. Anybody can, you know, start shooting off their gun right now. And that's what I just kept thinking the entire time that I was there. It's just having that unease feeling of, this is where I thought I was going to die. This little corner is where I was hiding for my life. And at one point, I even gave up hiding because I literally thought I was going to die. I was like, so why am I going to hide anymore? I was like, I'm just going to stand. And if he shoots me, he shoots me.
That's deep.
Yeah. I was just like, you know, what are you, you know, these slot machines are really going to do? And that's pretty much a bit of it. I haven't gone to a concert, which I still want to go. And a couple of people have asked me, like, what are you going to go next year? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go next year to the, you know, to the concert if they have it. There's even talks about them moving it to the desert. And I just kind of feel really more uneased with that, believe it or not, because now you're just in an open field. And, you know, people, you know, can camp out. And like, used to say that people won't bring their guns in their car, a lot more guns. At least I had somewhere to hide in the Tropicana, even though it was the best hiding spot, in my opinion, just because you're literally a sitting duck. But it's a lot better than being outside because you could only run and it's in the desert and there's nothing to hide you from or to shield you from. You know, I'm trying to do my every single day normal routine and still going to be able to travel, and which I did. I still have a lot of anxiety, and it's kind of like my new life that's supposed to be normal, which whatever that's supposed to mean, like super emotional still. Like, I can't believe how emotional I still am and how much I still cry. Like, and you know me, that's not me. I'm not a crier, but I probably cry every single time, every day, multiple times a day.
Solely just thinking about this?
Yeah, it's just for some reason, I can't get past it. Like, it's just a thought on the back of my head, like, constantly.
So no matter where you go, it's going to take a while for you to actually recover, truly recover from this.
Yeah. But, you know, as my therapist would say, I'm crazy, but I'm not batshit crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, the funny thing is, you know, one, I'm extremely happy that you're okay after all of this. And two, I'm really excited to hear that your adventurous spirit has not been broken, because you're one of few people that I know that every few weeks you're like leaving to go on some exotic trip to another country or another part of the world, you know, so I'm glad to hear that you didn't get agoraphobia where you're just stuck inside your house now and you're never going to go back outside again.
And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. One of my biggest fears that I was telling my therapist that is I have such bad anxiety that I feel like one day I'm not going to leave my house, that I'm just going to be trapped in my house because my anxiety gets so bad. And I'm like, I try to fight it. And I do, because I travel and I hate flying and I do all these things to myself. But just like what people say, like, I'm trying not to let it consume me. And even with this happening, it definitely heightened it more. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, no, I can't let this, you know, I'm not going to let this man take away that from me. Like, he's already taken away so much from me. My sense of feeling comfortable, of being safe, he took away. And slowly it's starting to get back, but I'll never be the same. I'll never feel 100% comfortable being out. I'm definitely aware, more aware of my surroundings. And anytime I go somewhere, you know, I always think of like, okay, where's the exit sign? So just in case if somebody does come here with a gun, where am I running? So unfortunately, like, that is something, and I've always thought of that, especially working in the mall. God forbid if something happens, where am I running to?
But now you're now you're 100% in survival mode, where yeah. When you go into a room or a restaurant, you're looking for the first place to get out. If there's a fire, if there's a shooting, or if, you know, someone starts choking, how the hell are you getting out?
Absolutely. Yeah. Even last night I went out with friends. And I was like, okay, I'm like, I see two exits, one to the right, one to the left. I'm like, there's a patio outside. I'm like, and I kind of give myself a scenario. I'm like, if this person's coming this way, I'm going to go to the left over here. And just, you know, what would I would do more? And, you know, I'm like, cool, there's a table. I could, like, surround myself. And, yeah, it's crazy because now sometimes my mind kind of gets overwhelmed and it's taking up a lot of these thoughts of like, okay, I got to barricade myself, or I got to do this, I got to do that. That's something that I'm dealing with. And I mean, I guess it's good to always be prepared, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, I just want to be normal. Again, I just want to have fun with my friends and not think of, have any of those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I want to open it up to you to kind of final thoughts. You know, you walked us through everything before, during the whole event, and, you know, the past 6 or 7 weeks since the event. What is, looking back on the whole experience, what's the one thing that you took away, or what's your one kind of synopsis at the end?
Being grateful for Carlos.
Mm-hmm.
And for my life. I didn't realize he has a newborn at home. And the fact that this guy had no idea who I was willing to risk his own life and his family's life to make sure that my friend and I were okay. And being thankful that my sister didn't end up going, or my cousin, because I found out she was pregnant. So, and just, I've always, in the back of my head too, is I'm okay of saving myself, of getting, you know, if I needed to run out or run, but being more worried if I had two family members with me, my sister or my cousin. Being thankful that my friend was okay, and the fourth person next to her got shot in the neck. So, you know, everything, I kind of always replay, like, thank God I left the front. There's a reason why we didn't get those VIP tickets that was closest to the Mandalay. I just came home from Iceland, and then 2 days later, I was in Vegas. Thank God that my sister was acting like an old lady, like a grandma, I tell her, and she was like, I'm not going to go to the concert, I'm too tired. Keeps thinking of, like, God has a funny sense of humor sometimes, but he also has a really great way of just bringing people into your life, like Carlos, and just being like, you know, my sister, the way that she is, I'm not going out and staying home. So that's kind of like my final thought.
So listen to your intuition and appreciate why things happen.
Yeah. Like, it's all the what ifs now. And I think the what ifs, it really gets you thinking, and I'll never have the closure that I want, because again, it's the what if this happened, or why did it happen? And I think for me and the rest of the 22,000 people that were there, which honestly, it didn't seem like there was 22,000 people there. I knew it was a big event. I just didn't realize how big an event it was.
But I think it's important, you know, like you said, there's so many shoulda, woulda's, coulda's, and what you would have done. You know, I'm just glad that you got out. And I think I really appreciate your vulnerability in sharing this story. And I'd kind of like to dedicate this podcast to Carlos. You know, hopefully one day he'll listen to it. And to all the other people who went out of their way to say, look, I'd rather die than let this person get hurt. Or it doesn't matter. This is what helpers do. We run back and try to save as many people as we can. So a special, you know, thank you to all of those people. And Ingrid, again, I just want to thank you so much for, you know, being able to talk about this, because I know this is something you struggled with for 6 or 7 weeks now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm thankful. And just even to you, like, you reached out, and I know you were on holiday. Just everybody who, like, reached out to me, like, I'm definitely grateful for it. Definitely got to, you know, you really have one life to live, and life is really short. And for me, it definitely opened up my eyes more, just to really follow your heart and just go.
And you know, Ingrid, I think this is a perfect time to bring it to an end. This has been another moment in time, a very special moment in time. You know, a moment out there just to think about all those 58 that lost their lives, or all those people that were injured that night in Las Vegas. This goes out to you.